hard work, or you become soft and lazy and complacent.
Once again, if you get the blue ribbon because you worked really hard in your first place, then maybe in your job, you're going to become the president of the corporation.
Totally.
Or maybe you're going to be the highest paid employee because you've figured out your grit at an early age and you were rewarded for your grit.
Welcome to Girls Gone Gritty.
I'm Farley Boyle.
I'm Darian Boyle.
And I'm Jennifer Brenius.
Collectively, we're two sister-in-laws with our bestie.
We don't just talk. We do it. Day, night, mountain, beach, and city.
Get ready as we bring gratitude and attitude to everything we do.
We jump in headfirst, unafraid, and we're all in all the time.
We bring it on and get it on each week, diving deep into authentic, unscripted conversations
on just about everything.
So,
let's get gritty.
So today we are going to talk about how we think athletics give you the foundation to be successful in every arena of your life.
It definitely does. I think athletics are the foundation of learning competition, learning defeat, learning how when you're down and you lose, you're going to work harder to get better, and you kind of it transfers over to life, which is pretty exciting.
It's really exciting, actually. I mean, I think that it's one of those most undervalued aspects of why you put a kid in a pair of cleats, put them out on the field, anything. I mean,
sign them up for rec.
Yeah. It's not about the individual sport. It's about the lessons that are learned. And I think, you know, what we learn playing, having kids that have gone through sports, it's really the adage is it's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. And people lose sight of, like, I know I've lost sight at times on the sidelines where you're like, all you want to do is win. It's like, but you got to lose well. You got to play the game well. You got
to
show up.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I like
but,
to win.
But you don't win every time.
No, you
and
don't.
And that's
you win.
The lesson.
It's a win for life.
But everyone doesn't get a trophy. That has to go.
No.
I don't agree with that.
And you know what? Like when I was coaching softball for the girls when they were little, and everybody gets to hit and everybody gets, even though we had three outs, I mean, I'm not a fan of that either.
Well, when you're young, when you're that little.
When you're little.
Yeah. I mean, but look at Dee Dee. She's little. I'm like, play every game there is, play every sport.
Definitely.
Be involved, play every position. I know you want to score, but hey, go play defense. She's like, I don't like to lose. I'm like, well, get that feeling in you, and then it makes you work harder.
Yeah. Teamwork. I mean, just think about all the fundamental values that you learned from playing a sport. You learn how to work with others. You learn to be a part of a team. You're disciplined. You learn how to take direction. You learn how to, you know, hopefully take constructive criticism and apply it to make a change.
Yeah. Be coachable. I mean, that's the biggest thing that you hear, like, even in professional athletes, you know, that he's a really great player. He's got a lot of potential. He should be doing everything, but he doesn't listen to the coach.
You might not love your coach.
Yeah.
You might not like some of your teammates.
And you might not have your coach's support. I mean, look, I went to high school, ski racing academy, senior year in high school. Think about that. Kids at this time period have already been in their sport that they've wanted to be in for 7 years. I go senior in high school. I'm now in high school ski racing against US ski teamers, kids on the Europa Cup. It's like the resumes were extensive. And here I come in like, yeah, I'm from Jersey. I love skiing. And I had Jersey arms. And I was like, woo, zero game compared to the best skiers in the world. The women's coaches dismissed me. They all said, she'll never amount to anything.
That gave you fire. That stoked your flame.
It stoked it. But had I listened to them, I would have never went anywhere. So I had two of the men's coaches that came over and they kind of said, okay, this is how you're going to do it. Hey, work harder. You're so psyched. But I loved it. I just wanted to ski. I wanted to train. I wanted to work hard. And I tuned out everybody else. And it tuned out the coaches that didn't want any part of my success. When you fast forward, I'm still skiing like a kid, love it. I'll go ski a blue run just to get out there. And it starts that young. And if someone takes the wind out of your sail, you know, and you listen, what are you doing next?
So another part of this podcast is how much is too much? You know, like I'm still of the mind and body that a three sport athlete is the way to go because you cross train and, you know, you don't burn out and you gain a lot of different skills. Like I've got lacrosse players, but they're better defenders if they play basketball. And if I just had them playing one sport, like their entire lives, they would not like it. They would be like, I'm out. Instead of going and now playing at three D1 colleges. But they enjoyed a variety of sports along the way until you kind of figure out what you love. But, you know, some people really take it to the next level.
Well, and that's excessive. A testament to A, your ability to keep your kids on track, understanding that as an athlete yourself, right? And also being strong enough to not allow some of these coaches, let's be honest, at the high school level, and the club level before that, that are saying, you got to pick, choose a sport, choose one sport. And
that's BS.
You got to go that way. And a lot of people fall prey to that because they actually do, in air quotes, prefer lacrosse more. And, you know, I can do 365 of any sport this day and age without question. You don't have to be a three sport athlete. But to your point, if you want to be an athlete, everything that you learn in every other sport teaches you something and translates to something else in that other sport. And not only that, but I'll say is that you see kids, the age of kids getting reconstructive surgery on things is getting younger and younger. A,
overuse.
They're overuse. And B, like we have so much more information on the effective ways to train. They know how to train like a professional athlete these days. We had to figure it out.
Well, think about all the people that have Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. When I was working at Fox Sports covering the Rockies, I mean, there was a handful of players that you heard in the whole MLB that were getting Tommy John surgery from overuse. And you see it in these high school pitchers. You see it in collegiate pitchers. You're like, wait a minute. You have to let your bodies have a timeout. And I think about it all the time because of Didi, I have an 8-year-old and family members are like, oh, you're going to do the same thing. I said, no. I want her to play three, four sports. It changes all your different tone. Every sport you do.
And ride a horse.
But it gives you different, like different muscles you use for each one. And you also want a sport that you want to go back and go, I missed it so much. And I'm going to jump in
to play basketball and softball and soccer and lax and, you know, field hockey. I mean, there's so many choices. I'm like a kid in a candy shop. I'm so pissed that I did not get to play lacrosse in my life because they didn't have it in Florida. And I was like, you know, the traditional volleyball, basketball, softball girl. I tell you, I would have killed it in lacrosse, but I'm sad that it wasn't there, but I'm happy that I have a variety and that I recognize I would have been good at it because of all the skills that, you know, translate from, you know, throwing and having a good arm to being coordinated and having eye-hand coordination. I just think teeing up your kid to have as many, you know, bonuses that you learn from sports is going to help them excel in everywhere, in the office, with friendships, you know.
You meet your peeps.
You meet like your
they,
peeps.
They didn't even have, what's funny, they didn't even have women's lacrosse back in the day. So when we grew up in Montclair and I have, you know, one of five kids, three brothers, said, I want to play lacrosse. So I had to play with the boys for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade because they didn't have girls lacrosse. I mean, amazing. That's probably dating me a lot. And I would face off against my one brother, Bruce, slashing him on the head because I'd be mad at him. And they're like, you can't do that. Run circles. You know, but it's trial and error and being the growth of all these sports. It's like you see how lacrosse was and volleyball was, all these sports from when we were young to now. It's like another level. They are, that's like you said, level. Training like God. A collegiate.
If I had
athlete.
Access to like the coaches and the people that my kids have had access to and to get coached by some of the best in the business is nuts. That was not the way it was.
No, but you see a lot of burnout rate. The burnout rate is so high.
Well, and let's be honest, there's two things that's happening here with the way that the sports have happened. So Title IX happened. So that was huge for girls because I started my high school. There was no girls soccer. Let's talk about lacrosse. There was no girls soccer until I got to high school. Believe it or not, it's true. You can look it up. Hillsborough High School. We were undefeated as a JV team for the inaugural year of our high school. And I started high school in 1984. So first girls team and they didn't know what to do with us. We didn't have a coach that knew what he was doing. They couldn't find a coach that knew what he was doing, that wanted to coach girls soccer. And we were a bunch of girls who like came up through the ranks, and we wanted to practice with the boys because we wanted somebody to know what they were doing. So there's also emergence of our contemporaries that have been the founding members of a lot of sports teams because girls were not given equal rights up until right about that time. It's true though, but true. So that's the accelerator number one, in my opinion. And the other accelerator is obvious. It's money, and it's, you know, the ability to merchandise. And, you know, it starts top down, and now you've got professional athletes, and I've got collegiate athletes that can monetize things, and everybody's just trying to sell gear. And, you know, and just continue.
And now you've got NILs.
You know, it's an amazing opportunity, both these things, but it's also a challenge because you want to make sure that your kid is in it for all the right reasons, of all the reasons why you want to play sports, learning things that translate into life. Because the other thing that can happen, and it, Darian suffered significant injuries farly later, but like I was sidelined before I even got to the collegiate level with an injury. So if you don't learn the ability to like have resilience when you are sidelined and not able to play what you love ever again, and you have to pivot, like if you haven't learned the real like nature of why you love sport, that can be a disaster, right? If you can't pivot and figure out a way to find something else that brings you happiness. So I think it's such an interesting thing that people miss. And you see how people miss it when, I mean, how many times are you guys on the sidelines and you're like, that person has lost their mind.
That person's living through their children because they never played a sport.
Even in like Didi's 8-year-old soccer, I'm like, oh my God, pump the brakes. But it is, it's all of that. And I
living vicariously through kids.
Totally. Yeah.
You see that all the time. It's
when you talked about going into soccer and being the only woman, when it came to ski racing, we had the X Games came and they had the Gravity Games. So NBC's version of the X Games was called the Gravity Games. And now we just started a sport called Skier Cross and kind of pioneered all of these different sports. So they came up to me. And with it, they didn't have a women's skier cross. And they said, all right. Some of the girls were like, we want to go. We want to go. We want to race against the boys. And they're like, all right. So they asked all the girls. I said, absolutely not. I will not race against, first of all, my roommate or any of my friends that are top skier cross racers in like the world. Nope. We want our own division. Nope. Can't do it. Came closer to like event day. And all the girls are now getting mad at me. Why won't you just say it so we can do it and we'll make money and we'll get on the boards. I'm like, no, I'm not. I want a woman's event. Lo and behold, last minute, we get a woman's event. The purse was an eighth of the men's, but it wasn't about that. It was more about the fact that, yes, now women's sports are making a big comeback. It's like pioneering it. It's open NBC with like girls doing skier cross, and we ski just as well as the guys, maybe not as fast because of our body types and the masses, but it was cool. And now to see that, how all of us paved the way for our daughters and sons. And it's like, just to be in the game. It's what we did.
Whether it's rec or it's kickball,
totally,
in gym, you know, it's, you're just going to learn how to work with somebody else and how to give it your best shot. And sometimes you can give 110% and lose and walk away and feel great because you left it all on the field or on the court or on the turf. And that's what it is. It's about like caring enough to give 110% at something and watch other people and feel proud for their successes. If one of your friends just killing it out there, or, you know, if you want to learn a skill and all of a sudden you're becoming better at something. I mean, it just teaches you so many life skills that we felt like this would be such an easy podcast for us to kind of, you know, just talk incessantly about, because it's, we don't know anything about not being competitive or playing a game or being in a sport. And I mean, really, that's my heartbeat. That's all of our heartbeats.
Yeah. Farley and I were chatting about it before this podcast. Like most of our best friends, actually, I think all of our best friends, like are like in their being whatever level they played, they're athletes, they're competitors. They want to step into the arena. They want to figure out how to like move the ball, move the proverbial ball, yeah, like down the field, down the court. They want to try something new. They want to try a podcast. They want to like step into a new business. They're entrepreneurial. All those things
gives you
came from the
guts, gives you the courage, gives you the grit.
Yep. You need the grit.
And, you know, hence the name Girls Gone Gritty. It's, you know, we put grit in our lives with everything that we do, and you learn grit, not just on a field or the turf or the snow, but, you know, rolling up your sleeves and giving 110%, that gives you grit, you know? And if you apply grit to every single thing that you do, it means you're giving 110%. It means you're trying. It means you're just ready. And even if you get mud on your face or you're tired and there's blood, sweat, and tears, you still feel good about what you did because you gave 110%.
You embrace defeat too. It makes you go harder.
God, without lose. Okay, so sometimes you hear, you know, the metaphor that you've got to fight to like go a level deeper to become closer. So if you are with a team and you are just working so hard, you are given 110% at everything that you're doing. You're working out. You're sore as crap. You know, you're losing some battles. You're winning some battles, but now you know what it feels like. Now you've taken things to like a totally different level where you would never understand it until you did it, until you walked, you know, in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah, right.
It's true. And then where do you think the direction of sports are going? Like for these young kids, that's kind of, where do you think it's
going? I hope it's not like these psycho coaches that really genuinely want you to only play soccer, only play basketball. The thing that pisses me off the most is I have two daughters that are really good ballers, but they're not AAU girls. But I want them to play basketball because, A, they love the game. It's a great game. It makes them better defenders as lacrosse players. It's very similar defense. And, you know, I want them to cross-train their bodies. But these coaches are now so crazy that they only want the kid that's like the club kid, the 24/7 year-round guy. And, you know, to me, that's just so short-sighted and injury-prone. And totally, like, here I am, a three-sport athlete. I've blown out my ACL 3 times now. And I didn't do it playing volleyball, which was my sport in college. But because of the wear and tear, I did it playing paddle. I've done it playing tennis. I mean, you know, your body can only take so much if you're playing at a really high level. But, you know, it was a sacrifice. And guess what? I had surgery and I got back on the court and I'm still playing.
Because you look down the line like, yeah, all right, I'm going to get better. But that teaches you everything for life too. Like, don't be defeated. If you're defeated, work hard. You can, if you think you can. Norman Vincent Peale, one of my favorite sayings. It's like such a fabulous book that I would read and I'd highlight all like these amazing statements and I'd put them in my head. It's like, you can, if you think you can. As an athlete, I can get better. I will get better. And I will take that to life after school.
Even if you have to rehab because you've injured yourself, now you've learned how to do that. And that is like mind over matter. Like, I'm going to get better. I want to get stronger. I'm going to come back harder. And, you know, before, like when I was in high school, if you blew out your ACL or you got injured before you went off to your college, they didn't want you anymore.
You were
they
done.
Didn't want you. That happened to me. That's exactly what happened to me. I had a
Joe
Theismann injury, literally the Joe Theismann injury at my soccer camp of my junior year, and was looking at a bunch of different schools. And because we were, I fundamentally believe it had less to do with the talent of my soccer at that time, but it was because we were innovators, because we were the first girls soccer teams, like taking that step onto the field. But that injury, you know, I was actually sidelined for more than just soccer. I was sidelined until my entire career because I didn't play basketball. I didn't play softball after that. I was in a cast for almost a year. But that resilience is, you know, is what I was taught. You know, I was somebody who was hobbling and doing the stats and making sure that I pumped up my team and made sure that I stayed on the sidelines when I couldn't be on the field. Because here's the other thing is that not everybody has been given a gift of athleticism, right? There are people that we know that they're just not athletes. Their coordination is different and they have other talents. They have other skills. Not everybody is meant to be a high performing athlete. And I think that's something that parents and people, all of us need to be reminded sometime is like, who are things for, right? Are you excited for your kid to play a sport because they love the sport, or do you want to have the bumper sticker on the back of your car? Both of those things can go together, but you got to make sure that the kid wants it and they want to perform. Because like you said, it's like, you can see the parents on the sideline. It's like, who's playing? Is that you? Yeah. Is that somebody else, you know?
And it's the burnout rate is what I think all the time. I've seen it so many times across the board with sports, from surfing to skiing to soccer.
Do as much as you can.
But do go say, no, you want to do it this summer? You want to play that? Keep playing soccer? Nope. You're going to go to the beach every day. You're going to play with your friends. You're going to get sandy. You're going to go body surfing. Feel the salt water in your blood. And in 2 months, you'll be right back to it and you're going to crave it. And you want to miss a sport. You want to crave it. It's too much repetitive.
Totally.
I mean, I've seen, because I'm always in physical therapy. I swear, I love it. My guys at Return to Sports, Matt is just, he's a genius. He's like, you are a train wreck. But you look around, there's like eighth graders with full-blown knees.
Oh, it's crazy.
Ninth graders, 10th graders. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You just did like sprain your ankle, jam your finger, maybe from skateboarding or doing something super stupid. You would just like fall off your bike because you hit a curb in the dark, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like another level.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
What is the future for these athletes as far as what is their body? What are their bodies going to look like?
Turf is like half 10 the
years from now.
That people are getting injured. You know, we don't play on grass.
They don't have long-term studies on turf. Let's be honest.
You know, it's like, there's so much more give in grass than there is in turf. You know, it's a hard thing. We've almost kind of hindered our kids, you know, because you want more fields and they want more fields to be able to be played on like immediately
at night.
All the time. 7. And, you know, lights. And so it's just, the hard thing is, you know, like going backwards to when you're like young and you're in, you know, middle school or you're in elementary school, you know, all you wanted to do is get picked, right? Totally. Somebody takes a ball, they form two teams and you just hope that you're going to be picked, right?
They can't do that anymore, by the way.
They can't pick
teams. They don't do that anymore.
How do they form
a team? Okay. So I had this actually happen to me. With a kid with us.
I want you on my team, but not you.
No, because, okay, this is like the,
everybody gets
where we are with like, also like the overture of like bullying. And there are some things that's truthful, but you can't make kids feel badly by being picked last. And I had a situation where I almost thought I was going to like be like told I couldn't coach anymore because I did that old school. Like, okay. And I didn't pick
Somebody's always going to be last.
I didn't pick the hardest, the best athletes, the two best athletes. I picked two comparably matched athletes, right? So you have your top athletes on a basketball team of 10, and then you have your bottom. So I split them into two, and I was like, okay, my middle two, you guys are team captains, because I also recognize that the team captains are always your best players. And if you really want to elevate sometimes, you don't always have to go to your number one. Your number one knows their number one. Right. So I picked my number three. Right. And I was like, okay, then they're going to go to one and then they'll go to, you know, two, whatever. I had a young boy run out of the gym crying because he got picked last in middle school. Swear to God, true story.
Tough it out, son.
Swear to God, true story. And my whole body and being was like, oh my God, I'm in so much trouble. The town's going to go crazy. How can I do
that? He might be the last guy hired. He might be the last guy fired. I mean,
he's 11. He's 11. And he, like, we all go through moments in time when we're not like confident and we're like, we're never like on the best all the time. We all have our moments. Maybe he was in that moment. Maybe he was having a bad day. Stay with me.
I was four-eyed fartly ho my whole life.
But what I'm saying, but stay with me. Instead of having the parent who went home, and I wasn't sure at this time, who was called me up and was like, Mrs. Berenius, what did you do to my son? I didn't get that. This parent, Annette, she was like, what the hell? You can't run out of the coach because you got picked last. Buck up. You're joking. So thankfully had a normal parent. But what I'm saying is that like, there are things that are in our society today that are different than when we grew up. It was like, yeah, it was, you're taught to like be resilient. Those lessons still need to happen. And a lot of times I think the mentality that you're saying of like, everybody gets a trophy. It is pervasive. It's pervasive right now.
Yuck.
Well, Norway kids don't get trophies and even get any kind of like level of activity. Everyone wins. Everyone gets a trophy until they're, I believe like 11 or 12, because they don't even incorporate that into their wheelhouse. So kids play, they get strong, and there's no hurt feelings.
Wow.
And how does that go?
There's not a winner.
They had some gold medalists in sports, but they're also different.
If you're not being taught to necessarily excel beyond because you're not being glorified for it. Now there's people winning in Norway. I mean, you're winning and losing.
You're winning strong.
You're still
it's
playing.
Just a different mentality.
Sure. Right. You're not like of praising.
Youth. Of youth.
Yeah. I mean, I think even last summer it started when Didi had her swim team. They went all these different places in Spring Lake and Avon and Silton, et cetera. And it was, there's no trophies given out anymore. It's like you get a bracelet and put a bead on it. I was like, well, how about if I bring some like trophies in or
ribbons. You used to get ribbons.
Right. But it's not like a common thing right now because
you make the other kids feel bad.
You make feel bad. I said, but Didi, what is the inspiration for all the kids to go, hey, I want another blue ribbon. I won. Like I worked pretty hard. I'm going to swim harder, longer. I'm going to train faster so that I can go get a blue ribbon. You need it. You need competition in your life.
And at the end of the day, the kids know. That's the thing that's really funny. It's like, I feel like a lot of times the parents are, or the administrators, and I'm not picking on school. I'm talking about the people that administrate programs across the board.
Right.
They make these rules and the kids all know who the fastest, who the best kid on the team is. So we're dumbing down, I feel like, a lot of time, like things that the kids are like, yeah, but it's fine. I mean, I know that they would have beat me anyway. So that's, I mean, you don't have to give us a ribbon, but he's first place, he's second place, and I'm third place, but I'm going to go get first place.
I'm going to try.
And the right kids.
Yeah.
Right? They don't need the ribbon, proverbially, but what we're saying as a society is wrong to not recognize hard work and talent.
It's hard work, or you become soft and lazy and complacent.
Once again, if you get the blue ribbon because you worked really hard in your first place, then maybe in your job, you're going to become the president of the corporation.
Totally.
Or maybe you're going to be the highest paid employee because you've figured out your grit at an early age and you were rewarded for your grit, and it tips, it continues to go up. Or not.
It gets instilled in your mind.
It depends. Some people don't want to win.
Pays off.
Some people don't necessarily care if they come in first, you know, and that's great too. If you're somebody that just wants to participate and you enjoy what you're doing and you're having fun with your friends, and that is what like works for your inner mechanics, then that's awesome. You know, there's some place for everybody in sports. And I think that's what we're trying to say, not because you have to go D1 or not because you have to think you want to be a pro, but there's something positive. There's a positive takeaway for every single person, which is why in gym, you know, from the day that you have gym class, you're participating in some type of a team sport.
Yep.
So that you learn the skills that will translate later in life.
And you get to figure out what you like and what you don't like, right? From a physicality standpoint, because especially when you're in school as a young kid, so much of your school day has to do with what's in here. In your brain. And again, like I look at life and it's like different buckets and vessels that you're given, like really, really highly intellectual people. Yeah. Just like a really, really highly like athletic human being. They probably did an enormous amount of work to get where they are. But there's also some aspect of like LeBron James is a big guy. Like he's not 4 foot two. Hey, but then there's Spud Webb, right? He's a very small basketball player, equal amount of work, right? LeBron, maybe he's 10 times the basketball player. I don't know. Both amazing, talented people. But what I'm saying is there is a physicality and
that you're born with
and that is
genetic
upon
genetics.
Yeah. Genetics are real.
You can spot the super athlete in the crew.
1000%.
And like they're going to be something. Others, you're like, okay, they could work hard.
Yes.
And get to where you need to go. Like for me, I had that drive to work hard. It wasn't super easy all the time. So I had to work that extra mile, always had to go an extra mile, always had to work harder, always had to like drive and do many more hours of work, but then you succeed.
Yeah.
If you were just given those characteristics of, yeah, I'm just a natural athlete, but I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Where's that going to play out?
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about the financial aspect of that, because there, I mean, listen, there's these amazing athletes that come out of cities and they largely don't play some of these sports that require money. Like, right. Like
expensive
it's expensive
sports.
Let's take ice hockey. Like you could be an amazing, like, but if you're never able to get on the ice, and in this day and age, there's not a pond that's freezing in New Jersey that often anymore. You're not like when I grew up, we could always like hop on the ice with a pair of skates in somebody's backyard. That's not happening anymore. And ice time is expensive. So there are certain aspects of athleticism and sport where you have to understand that
traveling is expensive.
It's a financial commitment. So that also is another, you know, bucket that we all have to recognize. And that's why I always love when you hear the stories about like, and it's largely the basketball, the soccer, the football, because it really only requires a ball and maybe one other person or maybe just yourself to practice and play. Like you can set at a basketball hoop all day long.
Go to the local one. Well, and you're Minnesota, you're good? They're such good hockey players because every house has their own rink.
Yeah.
Literally, because there's ice everywhere. So they have these fabulous skiers that are like these incredible skaters that are all next level. I mean, it's such a high level of hockey because you can do it in their backyard.
Yeah.
Here you have to go to one of the rinks. You have exactly like you said. I mean, hockey sticks are like $300.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And then you break them. You're like,
and I still believe that there's that athlete that has never had the opportunity to get exposed to a sport that's just a stud that can pick up a ball or a stick or whatever and still like really make a difference on a team. And we can't be so close-minded that we only think, oh, well, they're not on the best club team and they haven't been doing it since they were in fourth grade. And by the way, like, can we talk about the club teams? I mean, who really wants to be traveling with your fourth grader all over the state and on holidays and weekends? Whatever happened to having like a family weekend?
I say that all the time.
Or like respecting Mother's Day or Father's Day
Christmas.
Or Christmas. I mean, why are sports so entrenched in moments that are very important for a family unit?
Because somebody will do it and there's money to be made.
Because there's money. I said that the other day. I said
there's money to be. I totally agree. Somebody will do it and there's money to be made. It all boils down to the American dollar.
Oh, I have a camp and your kid made the cut.
Right.
No kidding. We're the only ones that are going to go. But it's not fair because family doesn't play any role in any of these like sports.
I mean, forget church. Half the time you can't even go to church because there's games and tournaments on Sunday. I just think...
That's what we were talking about because Didi and Cross, my daughter and nephew, they became altar servers. So I was like, wow, there's a shortage of altar servers. So we go through the class and they go up there and I'm like, all right, Cross, when can you be an altar server? He's like, well, I have hockey Sunday morning, so I can do a 12 o'clock mass. Okay. And Didi, okay. She's like, well, all right, well, I have a soccer game this time and that time. So getting them together, it was a 12 o'clock mass, which was great. We sat in the front seat like, oh my gosh, this is okay, you really paid attention. But in talking about it with Diana, the woman who runs the church, it's sports override anything with church.
Excessive.
You need church in your life.
Yes.
You need
family.
Someone to believe in. You need family. No one has holidays together. It's not a priority.
And you need downtime.
You need downtime.
You need to like get on a couch and snuggle up and just relax and rest your body a little bit and rest your mind. And, you know, so it's just been taken to the next level. Psychotic.
To a degree though, right? Like when they're younger, like, but then once you make a commitment to things, like, you know, it's like, you're constantly doing that, like dance and balance. It's like, well, now if you want to play, listen, if you want to go play D1 lacrosse, you got to give up your spring break. Because guess what? You're in season and that's part of the sacrifice that you make as an athlete. Right.
Well, let me tell you.
She's going to spring break.
I miss my spring breaks.
No, but right. I mean, so like, I feel like it's like a very healthy balance in like how you decide it. And to your point, I do think that there needs to be a little bit, since it's changed so much. Again, I'll go back just a few years with my oldest, who's again, 24. They used to not schedule things until after noon on Sundays. That's a fact. They would not schedule soccer or lacrosse before noon on Sundays. And I was like, wait, why is our game always at 1 o'clock? Because at that point I was not attending church regularly. And I was like, that's amazing. I love the fact that like we're able to carve that out where if you want to go to church as a family, we're going to start at noon. Like, why can't that come back? Is that like a momentum? Is that like something that we have to like start politicking for, petitioning?
Listen, we're getting all kinds of new holidays in the calendar. I think that we can politic for, you know,
I mean, that seems like an easy
common sense
family.
It's family first,
family
and religion
Yeah.
And if religion's important to you or not,
and whatever,
you know,
religion,
respect
whether it's
it.
Like just going outside and going to the beach and looking at the ocean or just
right. You're spiritual. Just, you want to just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice if it was all Sunday. It would be really nice if it was a full day of rest all Sunday. I agree. But I mean, I would take right now. I would take like, let's just get to noon.
Even till 11 o'clock.
I agree.
So yeah. It's because it affects everything.
Well, yeah, but you have to travel because most of the time you're not going anywhere.
You have to go
in your
like,
own town.
Like 2 hours. So here's my question. So
the state.
I want Dee Dee to play lacrosse. She's been playing soccer. Jeff, my husband, put her in travel soccer. I was like, really? Which is all fall, all winter, and all spring. Okay.
And she's eight.
Well, she'll be 9, big girl, at Christmas. So I want her to play lacrosse to try out another sport in the spring. And she's like, Mom, no, I have to play travel soccer. I said, well, then you're not going to play. And now she's going to fall behind. And the team probably won't want her. But she has to have
you
that opportunity at 9 years old to go try another sport. I still love her playing soccer. It's great. But
my girls were dancers.
I remember. And
they were all dancing. Gosh. And all of a sudden, even dance took over their lives.
Yes,
and before you know it, they just wanted to take hip hop or like a ballet class. And before you know it, now we're on the team and I've got a rolling rack and I've got a caboodle and I'm the dance mom that does the makeup, which is so not me. So,
but you did it well. I have to.
They're great dancers.
You know what? I wanted.
I think that's actually a life skill.
Yeah.
I'll go back to that like in a second. Where we have not spoken about our dance. Like that is as equally like we're not talking about only field stuff. Like we're talking about anything in physicality.
Anything
that like is like next level you chant. Like
you have to be an athlete to be a dancer, to be a gymnast, to you know,
to be a musician.
Absolutely.
Singer, you're training your voice.
Absolutely.
To be in theater. Any trait that you want to focus on.
Anything you work hard to.
Yes.
Be in the game. Yeah. Be in the game.
Be in the game.
Of whatever it is that you love and your passion. Sport, music, hopefully life.
Does require grit.
A lot of grit. But all I can say is that like, do you think one of the problems, and correct me if you think I'm totally off and you live in a little bit different. What I found with travel sports was at a certain point, in this day and this sad day and age where kids don't go outside like they used to, and you don't like everybody's kids on a leash. There's not like when I grew up, you would open up the door and there'd be kids of all different ages playing something. We'd play pickup basketball. We'd play pickup soccer. We'd play pickup kickball. It didn't matter what we played. We'd just run through the neighborhood. We'd play flashlight tag. Those things are like fewer and fewer and fewer in frequency and duration. And if they are happening, they require like organization of like it to happen. It doesn't like have
no
that
independence.
So you're forced into,
I felt
like I was forced into keeping my kids in club type sports because at 3 o'clock there's, unless they're, you know, and in fifth and sixth grade when they need it the most, at least in fourth and fifth grade, in ours, there isn't a team after school. That doesn't happen until middle school. So there's like this time period where they're smart enough to do things on their own. They need friends and they need organized activity, but there's nobody organically to play with. Do you find that? Do you guys find that?
Yeah,
like,
there's no, you
the neighborhood.
You don't go to our neighborhood. People,
you know, like go, don't come
around
back until the sun starts going down.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
The dinner bell. They used to ring the dinner bell. I don't understand what happened to that because the organized play date and not having kids take the initiative to call or ask somebody if they want to play, or, hey, you want to just go hang out? Let's bike, you know, let's just ride our bikes around. You know, it's just
people. Some parents are nervous to even let their kids out of their sight. Like, there's no freedom.
No, because they're being carefully curated on a sports field.
Correct. I mean, it's
sometimes I actually question, do people like their kids? Because they just overcommit them and sign them up for everything. Good but question. Like, do you like your kid? Do you want to spend time with them? Are they ever home? Can they just hang out with you? Can you go shoot buckets with them?
Right.
Can you go out and throw a football with your son for a little bit? Do you have time to coach?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm the greatest coach of like the multiple sports that I've coached, but I'm out there. I'm rolling up my sleeves because I want to spend time with my kids. Totally. And I want to get to know their friends.
Always got to do that.
Always.
You know, and it's like, I love when the kids all come to my house because there's freedom here. That's why they like to be here. And it's not that I'm asleep at the wheel. It's I let them be kids. Go have an adventure, you know, let me know where you are. I don't have to have constant feedback. I don't have to be a helicopter parent, a bulldozer parent.
Nope.
Kids need to have their downtime and they need to be off the GPS.
Yes.
You know, the Life 360, it's great in some respects. It's also horrible. You know, my parents didn't know where I was half the time, nor did they really care because they instilled in me values and a moral compass and rules.
Trust.
Yeah. You've got to earn your parents' trust. I'll tell you, when I blew my parents' trust and they said, oh, you're going to have to regain our trust, that was like a dagger in my heart.
Oh, I'd hate the, I'm disappointed in you. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that hurt the worst. I'm like, what? Disappointed in me? Okay. Never do that again.
But you know, kids are kids and they're going to make mistakes and you want them to make mistakes while they're home and under your roof. And sometimes they're messy and sometimes you got to, you know, band-aid up a boo-boo, but that's how they learn.
Wow. And it goes back to like, that's life, right?
I mean,
and
road rash, like
how many pebbles did you like pick out of your knees and your arms and your elbows and
oh my god,
go home. Oh, I hated skateboarding, tucking down, you know, Gates Avenue. I was following my brothers up, had the speed wobbles, and you just roll onto the grass. But it's adventure. Now people would be like, oh my gosh, no,
right?
You can't do that. It's well, not
and,
safe.
And it's not, and there's not even any time for it. Back to our point about overscheduling in sports.
Oh, there's
like,
none.
There's actually like, that's the part that's actually the most sad, I think, sometimes. And I'm like, there's not an hour that's not already taken in the entire week. It's they get up, they go to school, they get home from school. Maybe they throw something in their stomach to go to the practice. Then they go to the trainer and then God forbid they're at a high school level nowadays where they go to school all day long. They go to practice. They probably have another sport that they need to cross train with or that expects them to show up a day or two. And then they have hours and hours of homework. Like there's no like even like smidgen of opportunity for spontaneity, like barely. And then we wonder why they go off rails on the weekend, but that's for another show.
No, I think with me being a new mom, not a new auntie, it's hard because I'm still learning and you have an
only child, so you do have a little extra time with your girl.
I do, but I want to give her an opportunity to try everything. So it's, you know, CCD on Monday, and then she has travel soccer on Tuesday, and then, oh, she wants to do dance, but she wants to do three different dance classes. I said, no, just this year you'll do one. Mom, I want to ride a horse. So horseback riding on Thursday. And
how much torture and grief did I get from your family? Because
always.
I was the only child.
Totally.
But you know what? It gives you the ability to try a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you're told that you can be good at anything because
of course.
You've got undivided attention from your parents.
It's the best. But I feel bad sometimes. She's like, Mom, I have something every day. And I'm like, well, I just want you to be introduced to everything out there. And then you can kind of see what you like and what you don't. She's like, well, where I want to play guitar and piano and sing. I'm like, we don't have time for that.
My God.
My God.
I love it.
I love the spontaneity and I love that she's so open to.
Oh, we did piano wanting lessons to learn at our house. Oh,
well, gosh. Mackenzie's like such an amazing musician,
but she isn't really. Like, I mean, she took some lessons and liked it, but then we threw away the rolling racks and the caboodle, and we still have the piano, but there was no time for the piano lessons anymore.
It's the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's true. At a younger age, you have more opportunity to expose them to all kinds of things, because what you really want is to see what your kid is naturally good at and what makes them happy.
Yeah.
So you're doing the right thing. What happened with me is my girls all wanted to dance and they were all dancers. And then all of a sudden it was, you can't leave like a dance competition until the award ceremony, but we're all also playing lacrosse and soccer later on in the day. When they started telling us that we could not leave the award ceremony is when Pat said, oh, hell no.
That's my brother.
He's like, that's done. He's like, we are not dancers anymore. He's like, that is done.
He's such a jerk.
And that's exactly how it like literally ended as fast as it began. And then it became a sports situation. But, you know.
And I know it sounds to our listening and viewing audience that we overscheduled with our children, but we've done a good job of balance. Even though
we have a lot of kids.
They've tried a lot of things. We have 8 kids between the three of us. So, you know, we have a lot of different moving parts. But
we're, you know what? We're blessed to be able to give them. The opportunities that they have had to open the doors, because each one of us has our own specialty and our own sports and adventures and activities that we like to do that we're lucky to be able to pass on to them, to have them choose, hey, I really want to focus in this direction.
You know what? Our main goal, I think, as a parent is to, you know, tee your kid up to be better and greater and have more opportunity than we had ourselves. So therefore, I can see where sometimes, you know, we try to just do too much. We want them to experience everything because you kind of want them to have what you might not have had.
Sure.
You know, like I didn't have sweet cereals and I didn't get to have like a big cabinet filled with like treats and things. So now I have the best one.
Yeah, she has a really good, she has really good food.
Best craft
situation.
Services around.
I mean, you
we
know,
had Duke
it's
before.
Just,
I mean, we had, I mean, we
like Santa didn't ever really bring me my number one present either. You know, so it's like so now my kids kind of do get their number one present from Santa, but it's just the way that you are. You try to kind of, you know, put your kids in a place where they're going to supersede where you are able to go. And I think that's probably what we all just try to do.
Yeah. And trying to, like you said, trying to expose them to things to see if it takes, right. You know, seeing if, I mean, my kids, they played the violin, the cello, and, you know, Nate was in a band for a bit. My youngest played the bass guitar. You know, I was hoping it was going.
Jack was a thespian.
Jack was a thespian. I mean, yeah, he was a play. But to the point, like, you're just trying to see, like, stoke the fire of, like, passion of whatever that sports element is.
And then you start seeing it.
What it is.
Then you really, like, start.
And then they choose, hopefully they choose the path that they go down and play for the rest of their life. But I think that's... That's fun, because you know what? If you're a good winner or loser, just bringing it back home, like if you're a good winner or a good loser on the field, you'll be a better winner or loser off the field in life. And, you know, losing, as difficult as it is and as sour as it tastes, teaches you so many things. And that is just what we want to do in life is take the things, pick all the things up out of our elbows and our knees and dust ourselves off and get back on and be better human beings for it and be a better coach for it, be a better parent for
it. Sometimes the best teammate is the person that's on the sidelines, you know, cheering you on.
Yep.
Totally. But
you know,
and just like these girls, cheering these girls on.
But that's
in life.
Where you see the pressure for the parents and the kids. You're in the program and everyone else, their parents are getting their kids lessons. They're getting private
coaching.
They're
doing the extras.
And you start jumping into that because you don't want your kid falling short. So it's like this situation of what do? You want your kid to be the best. You want them not to fall behind. So now you're going to camps. You're taking private lessons. You're going to the other team so that you're playing on two teams so that you could be better athlete. And it's just like this roller coaster. Oh. So I wish they would kind of pull it back, but you can't, because unfortunately it's a money-making business.
We also forgot a very important part of middle school and elementary school. and transitioning into high school, daddy ball.
Yes.
Daddy ball. I mean, it's unbelievable. That is a real situation, you know, and it goes hand in hand with paying for privates and, you know, stroking a coach and being a coach and, you know, playing your child because you're the coach, or the coach listens to the person that's on the sidelines that's buying the uniforms or that is paying for the privates. That to me has become a part of our culture that's like pretty unavoidable. I couldn't wait for my kids to go D1 because they're not getting in the coach's ear. You know, they're not doing things for the program necessarily that's going to put their kid on the field. Maybe some schools act like that, but not like where my girls are.
Well, I think unfortunately, you know, Darian said it. It's like, that's sports though. Like it's how it imitates life in the suckiest of ways. I couldn't agree more. I mean, and just knowing that I think the education is like being able to identify that and being able to figure out like what your tolerance level is on.
That's great. You have to have a variety of sports in your repertoire. It makes you a better athlete.
1,000%.
100%.
It's just, you know what? You see it at a young age. You see it in that middle school sector, and it can be a deal breaker. So it's just, you know, if you see it happening, talk to your child about it. Yeah. Explain to them that, you know what? You're not playing because you're not good or you're not working hard. It's a situation that's a little bit out of your control. And sometimes, you know what? Coaches have favorites. And other times, you know, there's politics. Politics are everywhere. So you really have to explain to kids that sometimes life isn't fair on the field. Yeah. And it's not fair from the coach's perspective.
Judged events. It's like surf contests.
Yes.
That's
absolutely.
You'll surf or ski better than anybody on the whole field in the ocean or on the mountains. And your score is very low.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, everyone, why didn't they win? Well, it's judged event. So you have to just like,
it goes from daddy ball to politics.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally subject. Some things are subjective, right? Yeah. And people are going to justify them. But I think, like you said, it's just identifying it and talking to your kid about it
and developing grit.
And if you don't have,
and making that grit and then making the hard choices to quit a team or change teams or find a better fit, because, you know, certain sports, it's inherent in the sport. Like my kids at a very young age, and the coaches were lovely, but like football is all about that. The football coaches, they'll be the quarterback, they'll be the running back, and then it'll be the wide receiver. And those are the three people that touch the ball, and everybody else is on the line. And the three people usually correlate to in that sport across the board. I'm not even just talking about my kids. I've watched it. Those are the people that coach because they think their kids should be the quarterback, and maybe they should. I'm not to judge. But I think it's just an interesting thing, especially when you have these volunteer positions where you're not paid and people are donating their time. So that's the other side of it is like, well, and Farley and I talked about this a little bit offline. It was like, there are times because I coached and I was the female coach, which is another interesting like wrinkle in when I came in. I was one of the few female coaches coaching soccer, basketball, and baseball.
For boys.
And she's, I would get so cool, walked past, especially on the basketball court. They'd be looking for the coach. And I'd be like, oh, no, back here, but that's okay. So their way to handle that is just, you know, needing to like push other people around. And you have to choose like what your tolerance is to be pushed around and, you know, put on the bench and, you know, really be honest with where you fall. And you know, like, are you the number two on the basketball team? Or are you the number six? And you just don't want to admit it to yourself. That's the other part. Because again, we have parents on the sidelines that are living vicariously through their kids. So I think it's always like, it's a dance, right? You're just like trying to like figure out like what's the best.
But you brought up a really good point. Now we're talking about like younger sports. If you're the parent that is rolling up your sleeves and you're dedicating or donating your time,
right?
And now you have a decision to make on a starting lineup. I always try to be fair. I didn't want anybody looking at me and saying, oh, she's playing her kid because she's the coach. I absolutely went backwards and tried to, you know, make sure that I prioritized everybody else and would take my kid out of the game first. But in some circumstances, your child should be given a little bit of a leg up in the sense that, let's say she really is talented and you want to win. And you've played everybody equally, but you know, it's not rec anymore. Now you're actually like playing to win. If your child is going to be, you know, a helper in that factor and you are the coach, you can put your kid in there. And if people don't recognize that that's the right move, then you come out here, take my clipboard and donate your time, because I play to win. I also play to be fair, and I play in a rec world where everybody gets equal play time. I'm down with that. I get it. But then, you know, all of a sudden you bump it up to, you know, mid Monmouth and different. And now you're like, you're making a commitment and you're playing to win.
Absolutely.
If you ain't first, you last.
if you're second, you're second loser.
Yeah. Second place is first loser. That was like after at the X Games, I call home. I'm like, oh, I broke my ski in like in the finals. Went around this hairpin turn into whoop-de-doos, and my ski just like cracks. So I'm skiing on a broken ski. Long story short, I come in second. I'm like, oh, hi, how'd you do? I got second. Oh, first loser. And it's like been in my brain for so long. I'm like, I just want to go back to X Games. I don't want to be first loser. That's what we got.
It's just so funny.
It's a different mentality of how our family was raised.
But
all of it in general, it's fun to talk about sports because sports is fun and it's
an adrenaline rush.
And that's what it should be.
It's kind of the foundations for life. And
can you imagine not playing?
No. Like, and I love, and how fun is it to be on the sideline and watch your kids grow and get better and just watch them succeed. And hey, they go through, they fall, skin their knee, and they have a bad play, and you're like, oh, come on, get up and keep going. And it's fun to watch them grow.
I love sitting on the couch and watching football with my kids on the weekends and having a Giants, having a team that is your hometown team. And
let's go Giants.
So let's go Giants.
Let's go Giants. Come on.
Yeah. I know. It's a rough season.
It's a rough season.
Oh my goodness.
But, no, it's great. And
but we love you anyway.
And we love talking sports with the ladies. And there's so much to talk about.
Oh, God.
We could keep going.
It's true. I mean, yes, we could. Like, I could tell you right now that I'm married to the most competitive human being on the planet, and we can't even walk next to each other because he has to walk 100 paces in front of me because he's got to win everything. We can't ride bikes together. He's 100 miles in front of me. And that is who Darian has referenced many times. He's probably the one that said first loser.
Yes, that's my brother, Pat.
Yeah.
Who like, ended Let's up have a spit fight. I'm like, I don't spit. He's like, come on, spit fight. I mean, I was like 6 years old. Okay.
Who's this giant Paul Bunyan type guy that ended up with three girls?
It's the best. It made me so happy to see him have three daughters.
It's like what you
so
get great. Is what you get.
Because they're all like me.
They're Tom girls.
Tom girls.
But very exactly. girls. They're great girls.
Love it. Girls. Well, thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Speaking of great girls,
we
have to, before we conclude, we have to reference
highlight
this amazing human being. And I mean, the world is a better place when you step out of your comfort zone and onto any arena. And she just embodies that in so many ways. And we would be like remiss if we didn't give a big shout out.
I'm hoping that everybody did actually come across the story of this fabulous girl that, you know, probably has more grit than any of us. Okay. She has Down syndrome. She was the first girl to actually compete in the Austin Marathon.
She was the first female finisher in the Austin Marathon last year.
Maybe she did the half marathon. Maybe
no, she did the full.
She did the full.
And then she qualified for Boston.
Qualified for Boston. Did not finish Boston.
But
she did qualify for New York, and she finished New York. And, you know, we can't fact check. What we think is true is that she might be the very first girl with Down syndrome to finish the New York City Marathon. And that is an incredible feat. Even if she's one of others, what she did is, you know, probably one of the most remarkable. Her name is Kaylee Williamson. Mm-hmm. Is it Kaylee Williamson?
Yep.
What we're going to do is we're going to post on our social media link so that you can see this girl's crossing the finish line and how emotional it was, but what it really means to women in sports, to anybody that has an obstacle in life, you know, any type of adversity. It just shows you that mind over matter, you can achieve anything that you put your mind to. And this kid is incredible. And she, I was reduced to tears as soon as I saw her crying as she crossed the finish line.
Amazing. And that support from the family, because the family,
oh my gosh,
pushing her to the end, and the friends, and
I mean, every step of the way, letting her know that they believe that she could do anything that she put her mind to.
As can anybody, but that's hats off to her. And
yeah. Yes. So
she's our grit maker. She's our difference maker of this episode. So big shout out to her. And we want you guys to lead by example and live in the light that you wish to receive. So people like Kaylee, I mean, she just is going to be somebody who's going to stay with us, you know, through the next week, and be somebody that I want to remind myself each day to just step out and just get it done and cross that finish line in tears of joy and happiness.
She defines grit.
She really does. Mm-hmm. So hats off. Amazing.
Bye.
Peace out.
Peace. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Girls Gone Gritty.
You can check us out on Instagram and Facebook.
If this episode hits home, share it with someone who needs to get gritty.
3 G's. We'll see you next week.
Peace out.